Welcome back to the Off the Crossbar podcast here, courtesy of IsleIndoor.com. Thanks for joining us. And we always like to talk to different people of different generations and guys that are in the game today and guys who used to play the game back in the day. And one guy who used to play back in the day is still involved in the game today. And he joins us on the podcast this week. And he is a man who is being inducted into the BC Sports Hall of Fame, along with a cast of others of who's who in Canadian sports and BC sports. And he is none other than Washington Stealth assistant coach Kevin Alexander. Alexander the Great. Kevy, how are you?
Good, Dan. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Let's start with the Hall of Fame. What was the emotions going through your mind when you got the call?
I was actually surprised. I was extremely surprised, actually. It was a bit of a shock to me. That wasn't something you're thinking about at the time, of course. But it was quite an honor, and I was surprised.
There was obviously some talk of you and the reasons you weren't in Hall of Fames, and especially the Canadian Lacrosse Hall of Fame. Was this something that was, you said it's a surprise, but in your wildest imaginations, would you ever consider yourself a Hall of Famer?
Well, I guess. I mean, I'm in Victoria and the Canadian Lacrosse, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess, I mean, if you're in a couple of them, what's wrong with that one? But that BC Sports Hall of Fame is kind of recognized all sports as opposed to lacrosse. So, and there's some pretty, it's pretty elite company there.
Yeah, you're going in with the names of Rick Hansen, Terry Fox, Pat Quinn, or people who have been there as well. You're also going in with Donko Jones and Brett Hayden. So, you know, you're in some pretty elite company. Are there sport athletes, people you looked up to? Like, who were some of the guys outside of lacrosse you looked up to?
Oh, I don't know. I was always a bit of a racing fan.
Yeah.
So they got a really neat Greg Moore exhibit in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a great Canadian racer. I mean, actually, I dreamed of winning the Indy 500 before I ever dreamed of winning any Man Cups. But, you know, people like that. I mean, he's younger than I am, but you always keep tabs on people that do well at what they do. So, and there's lots of in there from hockey. There's softball guys in there from Victoria. There's people, and it's pretty neat.
When did you get started in lacrosse?
Oh, I started in organized lacrosse at about 5.
Yeah.
5 years old, yeah.
Here in Victoria?
Yeah. My brothers played, so I just kind of tagged along. One of those deals.
What association were you?
Well, at that time, everybody played at Stevenson Park, back at Stevenson Park, and it was City or Saanich, and I lived in Saanich, so we wore the yellow jerseys, and the City guys wore the red, and you get there early enough, you even got a pair of gloves.
Wow. Who are some of the guys that you grew up playing with?
I grew up playing with Cooley and guys like that, Norm Baker.
Yeah.
We all played, you know, roughly the same age group and played all the way through, really. But we all started at Stevenson Park. It's gone now, long gone. It's over by Vic High, for those that don't know. And then we kind of moved on to Hampton, the Saanich guys, and the Victoria guys stayed there, and they moved to Topaz and that. But, we all started at the same place. Old Doug Fletcher used to come with a box full of, trunk of his Cadillac full of lacrosse sticks.
Yeah.
Went from there.
People now will know the Junior A lacrosse team in Victoria as the Shamrocks, but back in the day it had a few other names. When you were there, they were the Esquimalt Legion. What do you remember about those days of playing junior lacrosse?
Oh, we had a lot of fun back then. We actually, Legion even came after we did. We had McDonald's first, right? So it was funny. I was talking about that yesterday with my wife. We used to fly once a week to the mainland to play. And back in those days, we piled into, there'd be 10 or 15 guys pile into the back of a bread truck, and Barry Forbes would drive it out to the airport. And try that nowadays. Holy cow.
Yeah. But you guys had some pretty successful teams.
We had some good
back
teams
in the '70s, yeah.
Yeah, we had some great teams actually.
Yeah.
And in '74, I think we lost in the BC finals to Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
No, we lost to Richmond in the semifinals. In '75, we lost to Burnaby in the finals in 7 games, and then in '76, we beat them in the finals in 7 games and won the Mitchell Cup. We had a very strong team actually.
And you had probably one of a legendary coach, the late Bill Monroe. How did he help mold your game?
He was smart. He had a lot of intuition into the game. He was a shooter. He was a goal scorer himself when he played, right? So he kind of knew what it took to get guys to score and to get guys to play even. He was kind of ahead of his time in his motivational tactics.
Yeah.
And he was a smart guy. He was. When I look back and I look at what goes on in today's game with coaching and motivational stuff. He was quite a bit ahead of his time.
You moved to the senior ranks, and you're playing in Victoria. You guys go to a couple man cups, and that kind of started the rivalry with Peterborough. And lacrosse fans know, of course, know John Grant Jr., but you played against his father, the original John Grant.
Yes, he's a great character. He's a really good friend of mine because we played on the national team for field lacrosse, right? Mm-hmm. We played together for about 10 or 12 years, so he became a good buddy of mine, and we always had a lot of fun throwing the barbs back and forth about Peterborough and Victoria, and it never ended either.
Was he as good as people say he was?
Yeah, he was definitely as good. His kid is no different. Like, they're both very similar, and when Senior was his age, he did all the stuff that his kid does today. He was as good as anybody.
Your time with the Canadian national team, where you were sort of that first generation of guys for Team Canada that started to put field lacrosse on the map again and travel the world. What was it like, you know, being that first Canadian team to defeat the Americans?
Well, actually, I was late for that. They started that in 78, right? So when we didn't come along till 82. So we played 82, 86, 90, and 94. So it was a lot of travel. You know, I think 82 we played in Baltimore, and then in 86 we played in Toronto, and 90 we played in Australia, and in 94 we played in England. So a fair bit of traveling, but that was actually one of the things I didn't get to win that I would like to win.
Right. What was it about the field game that kind of drew you to it? Was it just an opportunity to continue playing the game?
Really, I think it was. Like, people ask me quite often, what was my favorite? Did I like field or did I like box better? And my real answer was, whatever I was playing at the time, I liked the best. And I really did. It was true. It was just, they're both fun games, and some people thought one was more fun to watch than the other. But when you're really out there playing, you're playing because you love the game, and you're having fun doing it. And I really didn't have a favorite, except for when it was raining and cold. Though.
Yeah. Was there a guy that just blew your mind when you watched him play lacrosse?
Not really. There were lots of good players I watched. I was fortunate. Even when I was little, I saw Jack Beyond play a little bit. Everybody always talks about him and things he could do, and he could do a lot of things that people still can't do today or don't do today. But really, I kind of watch a little bit of everybody, and you try to learn from the best. And when you're a kid, you remember a lot of it, right?
How many calluses do you have built up through your body from taking slashes with wood sticks?
Yeah, I was lucky that way. I mean, you kind of get used to that. It's funny when you're playing back in the old days. For the first two or three games, the good slashes and the good stiff cross checks hurt. But after three or four games, you're used to it, and it's life is business as usual.
Would you like to see him bring it back, or are you glad that it's been taken out of the league?
Well, I don't know if bring it back is the right thing. It makes me laugh, though, when I watch a guy say and they think that a slash hurts.
Yeah.
They don't have the slightest clue of what a slash is that hurts.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you can take a guy like Jordy Dean. He can slash you from just with his wrist, and you'll know it for the next couple of days.
Yeah.
And the guys today think when they get a slash that it hurts, and they really have no idea.
Yeah. Those Bellies teams were pretty decent. I had a chance to talk with Bruce McDonald, who's writing a book called Salmon Bellies Versus the World, a 125-year history of the New Westminster Salmon Bellies clubs. What do you remember about playing against those teams of the Jordy Deans and the Ben Hiltzes and the like?
Well, they were all great teams, right? You're exactly right what you say. They had a lot of pride. They all came to play every night. Back then, we played for keeps. It wasn't none of this buddy stuff you see nowadays. Everybody seems to be friends because they play on each other's team one time a year or another. But back then, it was it was life and death.
Yeah. Do you think that's sort of taken away from the spirit of the game? Is that sort of buddy lacrosse?
I do to some extent. Quite honestly, I don't think that you can play with the ruthlessness that you really need to excel and be your absolute best if you think that the guy on the other team's your buddy.
Yeah.
And guys will tell you that no, they're not, but you can watch them play, and I'll tell you, yes, they are.
Yeah. How do you think you get away from that?
Oh, I don't know. That's a hard thing, right? Because it's human nature nowadays. Mm-hmm. People, everybody wants to love everybody, you know, and you play together. You play on same teams, some summer league, some winter league. And, you know, I even have issues at times, like, you trying to create rivalry against teams, and you're trying to sell fans on rivalries against teams. So a guy pays for his ticket, he goes to the game, and he wants to hate number 14 on the other team.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the game, all the guys on your team are shaking his hand.
Yeah.
You know, how can he hate him if you don't hate him?
That's a good point.
so I have a few little issues with stuff like that.
Did you hate wearing spandex?
I was the only guy whose spandex wasn't tight. pretty thin legs, and I got a bit of a ribbon about that. But I would like to. You know what would be an interesting one would be if they did like they do in other sports, they do throwback uniforms, and they made the guys in Buffalo or wherever wear those.
That'd be awesome.
I thought that might not be a bad idea. Fans would get a chuckle.
Yeah, well, we introduced you off the top of the show as Alexander the Great, and I actually didn't know this story until Chris Hall started telling it at the season ticket holder party in Washington. But did they really wear togas and the Trojan hats and bow to you after every goal when you played in Buffalo?
Oh, I seen it once on a video. I didn't, like, it was actually a video of the final game when I scored a big goal at the end of the game, and you could see the people bowing and that sort of thing, and they had posters once in a while. They were good fans, actually. They had a lot of fun.
What do you remember about your time in Buffalo in the National Lacrosse League? I guess it was the MILL then.
Yeah, MILL, Major Indoor Lacrosse League, but it's the same. It was fun. I mean, I used to leave the house 10 to 7 on a Friday night and be home by 4 o'clock on Sunday, and I'd go to anywhere from Buffalo, Detroit, Boston, Long Island, Philadelphia, Baltimore. So a lot of traveling, but at home we had sellout crowds every game, 16,325 people, so... Yeah. You know, something was going right there. And it was just a lot of fun, right? It was important to the people there, so it was important to us.
You played with, a lot of guys you played with on that team are still involved with league coaching and general managing. One guy's actually still playing, and that's Johnny Tavares.
Yeah.
Did you ever think, when you first started seeing him playing, when you were playing with him, that at 43 or 44 years old, he would still be in the game today?
I don't know if I gave it much thought when I played. It was 92, 93. I was 38. I was the oldest guy in the league.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I tell you one thing, I knew he was going to be great.
Yeah.
And he was, but that team was spectacular team. That team probably has potentially 7 or 8 Hall of Famers on it.
Oh, yeah. And that was the undefeated team, yeah?
Yeah. It had guys like Jim Veltman, Derek Keenan, John Tavares, Rich and Darius Kilgore. It goes on and on, right?
Yeah. Who was your goalie then? Back then.
Yeah. Billy, we had Ross Cowie.
Right.
Was one of them. And Bill.
Bill Geary?
Bill Geary, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Former Six Nations guys.
Yeah.
What do you see in the difference of the game today from back then? Obviously, it's evolved, and the National Lacrosse League has put in rules in place to speed the game up and, as some people say, make it more American friendly. But what do you think the biggest change in the game today is from when you played?
It is a lot faster. The guys are bigger, the guys are stronger, and they're faster.
Mm-hmm.
And the rules dictate that that's what you need to do. I don't know if I'd use the word Americanize it. There's just as many Canadians ever. The only way they Americanized it before was made a rule they had to play.
Yeah.
The ones that play now are great players. If you're a good player, you make it. If you're not, you don't make it.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. Some cities want to have more for marketing. But, you know, you draw a line between marketing and crowd attendance if you're not winning games.
Yeah.
But the game itself is a lot faster. It's kind of a little bit more defense-oriented, and I think that's dictated by your offense and defense kind of styles. But I think they need more goals. Some people say they don't need the offense-defense style of lacrosse, but they have to, you know, that's a long, hard thing you got to look at, right?
You work alongside longtime friends Chris Hall and Art Webster with the Washington Stealth. What's it like, you know, traveling with guys you grew up playing with and working alongside them?
Yeah, well, it's the same. We've done a lot of stuff together for a long time, Chris and I, and Artie as well, for that matter. And I don't go to many of the road games, very few, right?
Yeah.
Playoffs and stuff, I'll go to the occasional one. But I'm just kind of there. I'm assistant to the assistant kind of thing. I worked more with Dan Perreault this year, and I worked more with him than I did with any of the previous offensive coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very smart individual, and I actually enjoy working with him quite a bit.
Your time as a coach in the National Lacrosse League, what was that like? Because you coached in, not only in Syracuse, but in Portland.
Portland with Derek Keenan and Syracuse, and in Calgary with Chris Hall.
Yeah.
That was good. I enjoyed it, right? I had difficulty getting time off work for it, so it didn't really work out. But it was good. I would like to, I'll probably do it again sometime if I get the chance to see how things go.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good. It's enlightening. And I think, quite honestly, we need more Western coaches too. It's not, I mean, we know how to play lacrosse out here as well as they do in the East, and it's kind of dominated by Eastern input.
Yeah. What about Syracuse when there was the smash? Was that just a crazy, wild experience? Because I remember going out there and visiting when Fred was on the team that first year. And Syracuse, you would have think, would have been a natural fit just because of the ties with Syracuse University. But it's just one of those markets that the NLL has been in that just didn't really work out.
Yeah, it's you know what? There's a few like that. Syracuse is a good example. Baltimore is a great example. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is not a bigger hotbed for lacrosse than Baltimore, Maryland, and box lacrosse will not fly there.
Yeah.
You know, they got their diehard field people, and that's kind of the way they go. Syracuse, I think, is probably, they would have arena issues if they had a successful team, but you have to have a successful team there to make it work. So yeah, they never did have one. We sure weren't, and the teams after us weren't either. So, yeah, it's kind of funny, but some of those field hotbeds is what they are, field hotbeds only.
Mm-hmm. A couple more questions before I let you go here, Kevy. Why do you think it's not working in Everett?
I'm not sure. We'll see how it goes this week. It's another one of those things, right? There's a lot of other outside influence involved, I think. And our biggest thing is getting good dates. I mean, really, you need the Saturdays. The Fridays aren't very good, and the Sundays are probably worse.
Yeah.
Or that could be the other way around. In the States, Friday's a high school night, and Sunday's a football day.
Yeah.
So it doesn't leave you much left there if you're playing a weekend kind of sport. And I don't know. I'm still having a little bit of trouble trying to figure out what the identity of the city is.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's hard to put your finger on, because I'll tell you, the product is second to none.
Yeah.
Like, when you go and watch a game, you're watching the best in the world at it, and they're playing good. I mean, you look at the league so far this year, they got a quarter of the games done, and half of them have been one-goal games.
Yeah.
So as far as entertainment and entertainment value, you can't beat it. So and Denise spends a lot of money on the community, a lot of money promoting lacrosse in schools and places like that, locally in Everett there. And I think you get a fair amount of lacrosse people, but you're also selling entertainment. So, you need to get people that haven't been there before.
And why didn't it work in Vancouver?
I don't know. I always had mixed feelings about that. I think there are people still have the... one thing is, they were trying to sell it to lacrosse people,
yeah,
which I just said, like in Everett, and it's entertainment. If you're trying to sell lacrosse people, you'll never make it. You got to make lacrosse people out of spectators. You got to make spectators fans, and they didn't do that. People also think, well, I can watch them in the summer. It's the same thing. It's not the same thing as you're watching in the summer. And they just, I don't know. There was a few things. I was just one of those people, never thought it would work in Vancouver.
If you could change one thing about the game of lacrosse today, what would it be?
I don't know. I would like to see a little bit longer schedule and playing more of a real schedule, like weekdays and stuff,
yeah,
where you can create rivalries and players can, get a little bit more serious than they are now. I mean, some of them make decent dough now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you played a proper full schedule, create rivalries, create a fan base where people they know that there's going to be a game here. They know you're going to play every team once or twice or two or three times. And that's how it works. It's still a little bit where, you're flying in. Well, you might not see those guys again for a couple of years. So, or next time you come back, guy's wearing a different sweater. But it's I just think that you need to make a little bit more out of it. And if you got to go down to six or seven teams to do that, then do it. But holy cow, teams should sure be good.
Do you think there's too much lacrosse? And when I say that, I mean with the National Lacrosse League, the Canadian Summer Leagues, the Junior Leagues. Do you think it would benefit from just having one lacrosse system like the National Hockey League or like the NBA, where it's one major league that plays, say, 5, 6, 7 months of the year instead of two different professional leagues?
No, I don't think that would make a difference, actually. The funny thing about it is they play in different seasons.
Yeah.
And the problem in there lies, if you live in Eastern States or Eastern Canada, you can't play box lacrosse realistically in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Where some places you can't. So then you play it in the summer outdoors. So it's a funny conundrum whereby you can watch it, but hey, you can't go play it. As a kid, I went to a lacrosse game Wednesday night, and Thursday I was out in the box throwing a ball around doing what I saw last night.
Yeah.
You have a hard time doing that in Boston.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So that hurts the game quite a bit, because that's how you do that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has a little bit to do with it, because you need to be able to, it's about the kids, right? And when they go out and they, hey, I want to go try what I saw last night. Oh, I'll remember that in June when I can get outside and try it. You know, so that's an issue.
Yeah.
But one league, I mean, hockey has the American Hockey League. It has the Eastern Hockey League. They all play in the same season.
Yeah.
And they're not all major leagues. And you can call the leagues whatever you want, but there's lots of leagues for players to go around, and there's only one that's elite, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have to cancel the other ones.
How's your golf game?
Brutal. Brutal. I haven't actually played since we started training camp in November, so, but I'll get back out.
Well, it's a good thing you live on the West Coast, because we have the easiest weather to play golf during the winter.
Yeah, so. We could play, but weekends are pretty well spoken for until end of April, hopefully, and then they'll worry about it then. But I can't see it making any leaps and bounds and getting better.
Sure enough. Well, Kevy, September 9th probably can't come soon enough for you, where you and eight others will be inducted to the BC Sports Hall of Fame at the Vancouver Convention Center. Congratulations on the honor. Congratulations on all the honors you've actually established over your career, and thanks for stopping by and chatting with us.
Okay, Tim. Thank you.
Alexander the Great. He is one of the best lacrosse players to have ever played the game, and I often say, and I got a bit of a flack from this from Rod Bannister, who was a Victoria guy. I said, he's one of the most underrated guys outside of Victoria. And he said, oh, you ask a lot of lacrosse people who he is, and they could tell you, well, it's not really true. People who knew who he was can tell you who he was. But people outside of the game that never really knew what he was able to accomplish and what he did, and that he was probably one of the greatest Canadians to ever play the game indoor or out, not a lot of people actually know that. And not a lot of people know that he was one of the first guys from Western Canada to make the jump to the major indoor lacrosse league and put on the loose spandex, as he called it. But congratulations to Kevy. He can still pick up a stick and snipe corners with one shooter, if that. Seriously, if you ever see one of his sticks, you know, you see guys like Ethan Iannucci, Lewis Ratcliffe, John Grant, they have 3, 4, 5 shooters and diamonds and Vs and different designs in their sticks. He literally puts one string across the top, and it's not even a real shooting string. It's like a sidewall right across the top, and he picks corners. Kids, remember, you don't need all the extra strings. You just need good wrists. Thanks for tuning in for this week's Off the Crossbar podcast. September 19th, Kevin Alexander goes in to the BC Sports Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Alexander the Great. My name's Ted Jenner. This has been another edition of the Off the Crossbar podcast, courtesy of IsleIndoor.com and Inside Lacrosse. Thanks for stopping by. Head over to the IsleIndoor.com website, and you can check out all the podcasts. And hopefully someday soon, these will be all up on iTunes. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, be excellent to each other.